Good afternoon, colleagues. Mr. Mkhize, are we good to begin?
Afternoon, Chair. Yes, we are good to begin with the meeting, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. I would like to take this opportunity to greet all the members of this committee, the Honorable Members of Parliament. I also wish to greet the officials, the staff members, who do a lot of work behind the scenes for these occurrences to happen without any deficiencies. I also wish to take this opportunity to welcome our guests today, particularly those that will be making a collective presentation of the submitted petition. You are all welcome, and I wish to declare this meeting formally open. We have a very simple agenda before us. I don't know if you can flight it, my brother, Mr. Mkhize. Basically, today's agenda, it is the opening which I've just done, and then we'll also entertain the issue of apologies. And then we go straight to the presentation of this collective petition by the three parties. And then thereafter, we will give an opportunity to the honorable members to interact with the presentation. And then we give perhaps another opportunity to one of the presenters to just reflect on the comments, questions of clarity by members. And then we then conclude and give a way forward and then conclude the proceedings of the day. If you are unable to flight it, I have just spelled it out. Can we perhaps be assisted by being told of any apologies?
Chair, yes, I haven't received any formal apologies. There's no formal apologies that I've received, Chair.
Okay. The only apology that was registered with me directly is that of Honorable Bartlett. The Honorable one is at the funeral, and unfortunately, where the Honorable member is unable to connect. So that's the only apology that should be recorded. If it happens that he's able to, then that would be great. Can you just confirm the agenda that I spelled out, that it is the same that we have shared with our guests?
It's the same that we have shared with our guests, Chair. It's the same agenda that I've shared with the members and our guests, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you. So if we don't have the apologies, members, that's the agenda. Can we have a mover for the adoption of the agenda?
I move, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Mutsamai. Can we have another member to second? Honorable members, can I have another member to second the adoption of the agenda? Are the members able to open their microphones? Or is it the problem is from my side? Members cannot hear me.
I can hear you and my microphone is open.
Oh, wonderful. Are you seconding the adoption of the agenda?
No, I'm one of your guests.
Oh, okay, okay. Let me see the members that are here. Well, it's just a formality anyway. Maybe one of the members who was to help us with the adoption of the agenda may be having a connection problem. So I don't think that we can really hold this meeting into ransom with that fact. So I would say, without further ado, I would like to invite the invited guests who have lodged this petition with the National Council of Provinces to now present to us. This is a really a collective petition which has been put to our highest house of parliament by the three parties, which are Ms. Laura Lee Berger, as well as the South African Women Fight Back and the Embrace Project. And this forms the basis of the collective petition, which has been put to us for consideration and assistance. And I think I now ask one of them, the person who will be making the presentation, to introduce their delegation and then go ahead to make the presentation. And I wish to give you a maximum of about 15 minutes, given the fact that we have received this document and we have familiarized ourselves with it. Just take us through the main issues and highlight and point us out to the key factors that you would like us to particularly consider. I welcome you and thank you as well for reaching out and asking our good office to give you an audience, which is something that is within your rights, and we welcome it positively, the fact that you have chosen a route of communicating with us so that we can have an interaction, and perhaps we'll find an understanding on how we can even resolve your issues. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And thank you to the Select Committee for entertaining our petition and for the kind introduction. My name is Leanne Germanis. I am the co-founder and director of the Embrace Project, and I will be making representations on behalf of our organization, which is an anti-gender-based violence and femicide advocacy group and nonprofit organization. We also just ask that the committee bear with us slightly if our presentation exceeds 15 minutes. It might be about 20. I also just hand over to the other petitioners to introduce themselves before we get started with the presentation. So I hand over to Bronwyn.
Hello, honourable members. Thank you so much for having us here today. I'm just going to see, I think this is Laura Lee who must be on this part, Leanne.
That's correct. I just thought we would introduce ourselves first to the committee.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Good day, people. Honourable members. My name is Bronwyn. I'm the founder and director of South African Women Fight Back.
Good afternoon, honourable members. Thank you so much for your time today. My name is Laura Lee Gillian. I am an individual activist currently studying my master's in the social studies of gender in Sweden. So I thought I'd get started on why we have decided to opt for petitioning to the said committee. And foremost, like, we have submitted two petitions to the president pertaining to gender-based violence over the past 2 years, which collectively gained nearly 1 million signatures. Unfortunately, neither petition resulted in a response from the presidency, despite undertaking to do so between 7 days and 3 weeks, and despite follow-ups. We have approached the SEC committee as a last resort. Next slide, please. Thank you. Elaborating briefly on the two petitions handed into the presidency is firstly my own and that of South African Women Fight Back, which was handed in jointly on the 6th of March in 2020 and calls for the fulfillment of 16 undertakings made by the president in September 2019. Leanne, on behalf of the Embrace Project, will quickly elaborate on petition two.
Thank you, Laura. The Embrace Project handed over a petition to the presidency on the 30th of August this year. In that petition, we called out the government's lack of political will to combat gender-based violence and femicide and asked the president to account for the rising rate of gender-based violence and femicide, the poor implementation of legislation, and the presidency's emergency response action plan on gender-based violence and femicide. The president was also asked to account for the Commission for Gender Equality's report on the emergency response action plan, which was released in April of this year. We also asked him to account for the findings of the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. Their report was released in May of this year, and it was based on the domestic violence rates in South Africa. Laura Lee will now take us through a bit more of an elaboration on petition one, followed by Bronwyn.
Great. Thank you. So petition one was started by myself during my honors year at the University of Cape Town in 2019, which you can see along with the South African Women Fight Back's petition in Annex B. At the time, the aim of my petition was to get governmental recognition regarding the state of gender-based violence in South Africa after the death of gender studies student Ionene. Issues I felt was prevalent in the country at the time was the need for gender-based violence to be discussed and addressed from the state level. In addition, there was and still is an obvious societally embedded violence against women and other gendered minorities. Thus, my petition called for urgent measures to be put in place that aim to eradicate violence against women, rid our society of toxic patriarchal values, as well as ensure gender justice. My petition as of date garnered over 800,000 signatures, which, as said before, did not receive a response from the presidency, despite having handed in the collective petition to Regional Director Charles Board back in March 2020. Necessary to state, and of which you all might be aware, that femicide in South Africa is still 5 times the global average rate, with one woman being murdered every 3 hours and with an average of 146 sexual offences reported per day. Unfortunately, to date, not much has changed regarding gender-based violence in South Africa, despite talks and measures within the government to address this issue, which we feel is due to a number of reasons and which will be further discussed in our presentation by Bronwyn and Leanne. Bronwyn will now provide more detail with regards to South African Women Fight Back's petition.
Thank you, Laura Lee. On the 5th of September 2019, President Ramaphosa stood in front of the nation and he made us 16 promises of things that he would do to better the situation of GBV in South Africa. What we did was we took these, sorry, if you could go back one slide, thank you. We took the 16 promises and we didn't come to you with problems. We came to you with solutions and what we could do to start making a difference. We feel that all of these issues are very low-hanging fruits, and the things that you have promised us are quite easily accessible and should be easy to do. I won't run through all of the questions as I know we are pressed for time, but I will just factor on a few of the most important ones. Number one, to ensure that measurement and monitoring is in place and executed, and that correlated monthly updates are transparent to the nation, and if not the nation, GBV organizations that are helping in this fight. Number two, to speed up the intended progress of the delivery of the president's promise and the outcome of the draft of gender-based violence and the femicide strategic plan. This is now a year overdue. Number three, to review the laws that impact on criminal prosecution of domestic violence and sexual offense perpetrators. Number four, immediately and without fail to set up the remaining 10 sexual offense courts as promised before the end of the financial year. I'm going to skip forward to number seven, revoke the bail of currently awaiting trial accused sex offenders and murderers who are currently also out on bail for previous charges. Number eight, and this is a very pressing one after seeing the statistics that were released 2 months ago, expedite and prioritize all current murder and sexual offense cases and review cases lodged with IPID during the past 36 months. You can go to the next slide, please. we can go. Oh, thank you. All staff station number 11, all SAP station commanders that have not set up acceptable victim protection rooms or sufficient counseling partnerships for victims of domestic violence, GBV, and they must be implementing the 6-point plan. This again is another very pressing issue and a big concern for MPOs working within GBV. Number 12, reconfirm the mandate of all SAPS officers and that they should call on NGOs for victim counseling and training from a station level. Hold accountable officers of the court who are not fully advising victims of their right when seeking protection orders. These are the main points out of the 16 promises that we think really, really do need immediate attention, and we hope that you would do so. I'm going to hand over to Leanne to go through petition number 2.
Thank you, Bronwyn. Honourable members, I'll now take you through the Embrace Project this petition. That would be Annexure C of the collective petition before you today. The Embrace Project petition called out the presidency and the government, as stated earlier, for their lack of political will to combat gender-based violence. And we asked that the president account for 3 things. The first was to account for the rise in the rate of gender-based violence and femicide despite legislative and policy reform. And this is based on statistics released on the 20th of August by the Minister of Police, where we sit at 110 reported cases of rape a day and 140 reported cases of sexual offences daily. This is higher than even pre-COVID statistics. So we really can't rely on the fact that we were in a lockdown last year to explain why these have increased exponentially this year. Please move on to the next slide. Thank you. The second thing that we asked the president to account for was poor or total lack of implementation of the presidency's Emergency Response Action Plan on gender-based violence and femicide. Like I said earlier, this was based on a report released by the Commission for Gender Equality in April of this year. The report is Annexure D to the collective petition before the Select Committee. I'm just going to highlight 2 points from that report. The report highlighted the fact that some departments were completely uncooperative when the Commission for Gender Equality, which is a Chapter 9 institution, requested vital performance information for purposes of the report. One of the departments was the presidency. So in other words, what we can deduce from this is that the unresponsiveness of the presidency is actually quite an institutional issue. If it's failing to respond to the public through petitions, and it's failing to respond to bodies which have an oversight function empowered by the Constitution, being both the Commission for Gender Equality and this very select committee, whose requests were also actually ignored by the presidency, that is a big cause for concern. The second thing that was pointed out by this report is that there were 81 targets that were fleshed out in the Emergency Response Action Plan, and that only 51 of those targets, that 51 of those targets were not achieved, and 12 of those targets were partially achieved. That actually leaves only 20% of the targets set out in the Emergency Response Action Plan having been met, which is totally unacceptable. The third point that we asked the president to account for was the finding by the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women that the South African government was in systemic and grave violation of Article 8 to the Optional Protocol of the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, otherwise known as CEDAW, which we have both signed and ratified as a country. That is, they released that report in May of this year, which was only a month after the Commission for Gender Equality released their report. The report is Annexure E to this collective petition. I'd like to draw down on the fact or on the meaning of systemic violation. What a systemic violation of CEDAW actually means is that our government knowingly omitted to take measures to effectively respond to the obscene rates of domestic violence and femicide in South Africa. That is at page 20 of Annexure E. So in other words, that means that the government deliberately failed to take measures to protect South African women from domestic violence and death. What I'd also like to draw the Select Committee's attention to is something that was raised in paragraph 5 of our collective petition before you. So I refer
Recording in progress.
So I refer the honourable members to that paragraph in the collective petition. Our petition to the president was started in July of this year and handed over to the presidency on the 30th of August for the end of Women's Month. In between that, the Embrace Project sent a letter to the presidency on the 9th of August, which was Women's Day. The letter was an extract from the petition, and we then received a response from the presidency to that letter on the 11th of August. Our letter to the presidency is Annexure F to this collective petition, and their response is Annexure G. In their response, the presidency referred us to the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities. Now, we had a bit of an issue, actually, with this referral. Please go back to the last slide. The reason being is that we considered that a passing off of responsibility by the presidency to the department, and we challenged this in two emails that were sent on the 11th of August, which is Annexure H to this collective petition, as well as a letter dated the 30th of August, which we defined as the letter of motivation in our collective petition before you. It's Annexure I. And that letter was handed over to the presidency on the same day as the petition. You can move on to the next slide. Thank you. I'm just going to highlight for the committee the basically summary points that were contained in both our emails and our letter of motivation, explaining why we firmly believed the president to be the appropriate functionary to receive our petition and not the Department of Women. The first point that we raised was the fact that national policies aimed at responding to gender-based violence and femicide, which are your Emergency Response Action Plan and the National Strategic Plan on GBVF, as well as the GBVF Response Fund 1, all emanate from the Office of the Presidency and therefore fall within its mandate and core business. The second point we raised was the fact that bills impacting gender-based violence and femicide that were introduced to Parliament in last year in 2020 currently sit with the President for assent. That's the last stage before the bill obviously gets signed into law. The third point that we raised is that the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities, to whom we were referred, is but one of 22 governmental stakeholders referred to in the national policies above. And so the minister of that department cannot be considered to be the appropriate functionary if it's one of 22. The president, as the head of state, is responsible for the coordinated and cohesive governmental response to gender-based violence and femicide, which is multifaceted, just based on the number of government stakeholders that are involved. And thus, he is the appropriate functionary. In addition, gender-based violence and femicide, if it's to be truly prioritized as this country's second pandemic, then it would follow that the president, who is currently the head of the National Coronavirus Command Council, would head up the GBVF response. Could you please proceed to the next? Thank you. So we ended up handing over our petition at the Union Buildings to the Office of the Presidency on the 30th of August. It had gained 28,000 signatures by the time of handover and now has over 35,000 signatures. We handed over our petition and our letter of motivation together on the same day. And we were informed by the official who received our documents and acknowledged receipt of them that we would receive a response to both our letter and petition within between 7 to 14 days. To date, no response has been received, and that's despite follow-ups. I refer the honourable members to Annexure A of this collective petition, where you can clearly see that we followed up with the presidency 3 weeks after the petition handover on the 20th of September. The follow-up was through email, phone calls, and text message. We then followed up again on the 22nd of September, and once again on the 3rd of November. We received no response to either our phone calls, text messages, or emails, let alone our petition. Could you please? Thank you. And the next slide. Thank you. So what we as the petitioners request of the Select Committee are the following. We request that the Select Committee questions the presidency on the dereliction of its duty to acknowledge and respond to the South African public that it serves through its disregard of our petitions that were handed over to it, by ignoring our attempts to contact it, as well as disregarding the requests of a Chapter 9 institution, such as the Commission for Gender Equality, and even this very select committee, which both have constitutional oversight functions. The second request that we make of the Select Committee is to ask the President to account for the South is to ask the President that he accounts for the South African government's lack of political will to combat gender-based violence and femicide, based on the content and the details contained in each of our two petitions that were handed over to him, as outlined in this presentation. And we make this appeal to the Select Committee based on the fact that South Africa in 2021 has been named the number one most dangerous country in the world for women by the World Population Review. Yet the government and the head of state don't seem to be dealing with gender-based violence and femicide with the requisite urgency and priority that it requires. So we ask the committee then to exercise its oversight function and ensure that it does. We thank the committee for its time.
Is that the totality of the presentation?
That is, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate the presentation, and thanks for just being on point, because I see that you didn't take so much time. But I think you are pointing out exactly where you want us to look at. Let me give it to the members, for members to interact with this presentation. From my side, I'm just appreciating the fact that you have come to us and you have now presented. If you may, you can just get ready maybe to take your notes and hear out what are the members going to be saying. So, honorable members, this is your time to interact with the presentation on this collective petition. Mr. Mkize, you'll assist me if there are hands that I'm not seeing from the chat room.
Noted. Currently, there are no hands, Chair.
Honourable Chair, may I through you maybe put a question to the Select Committee, maybe to get the discussion going? Mr. Mkize, is the Honourable Chair still online?
Mr. Mkize, are you here?
I'm still here, Chair.
Yeah, who was wanting to ask a question? Is that an honorable member?
Yeah, it's not an honorable member. It's Leanne, Chair.
Oh, okay. Leanne, yes. If you may just give us this opportunity to first focus on the deliberations by the members. We want them to interact with this. Then if you have something to say, maybe you'll come back when we give the opportunity to yourself. Is that fine with you? Unless it's a burning addition on the presentation.
No, Honourable Chair, that's completely fine with me. I just thought I would throw out a question to maybe get the Honourable Committee members going while we wait. But I'm very happy to wait until after somebody has said something.
Honourable members, it means you are fine with the presentation that has been made here by the our invited guests. If you don't want to raise questions, it means you have got clarity. Okay. No, it seems like we don't have members.
Myself, I'm covered, Chair.
Yes, honorable one.
I say I'm covered, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable Motsamai. Thank you. Is there another honorable member? No one.
Honourable Chair, if I may ask, now that we have made the presentation and we have put everything forward, if there is no feedback from any of the Honourable Chairs, what would be the next steps?
No, that's where I'm coming. If the members do not want to interact with your presentation, they are allowed, you know, it's fine. But they have heard you, we have heard you as a committee, and as the chair, I wish to appreciate your presentation, and I've listened quite very carefully to all the points that you are putting across in terms of your complaint on how you feel ill-treated, ignored, and so on and so forth. All of those matters are noted by this committee. Now that you have formally made this presentation, ours as a committee is to process this through the internal processes of Parliament and ensure that we interact with the office of the president, which is the highest office in the land. I must say, though, that I understand where you come from. You know, the minister responsible for women, children and disabled persons in South Africa is a minister in the presidency. I am not trying to say you are wrong by saying that you think that this matter resides squarely with the office of the president in particular. But I just want to point you to that fact. I am not wanting to enter into an argument with yourself. We will interact with the office of the president. We will put across all the matters that you are saying. But I also want to say, having said that, our country and our government in particular has taken the issue of GBV quite very seriously, and we have put measures in place. I don't think it would also be fair to throw the child with the bathwater or the bathtub when we say that nothing is being done. I think we're doing everything we can, understanding that we are a very violent society, which is something that is linked to our history and experience as a country and as a people. But I think the mere fact that we have dedicated departments that are dealing with the scourge and this pandemic clearly demonstrate a true political will. To say there is no political will, I don't think it's fair. But I think there are points, if you are citizens of this country, and if you are organized formations of civil society, and you communicate with our government, and you are ignored, I want to acknowledge that that cannot be condoned at all. And I think it is a matter that we will follow up on it, because if you are raising issues which seek to address some of the challenges of the national question, we ought to respond. I understand that your first submission was actually acknowledged, but it was then referred, and that is what you are not happy with. And we'll deal with that so that when you raise matters, you have an expectation as to who should address those matters. And I think that's a natural human reaction. So I'm saying that we will present these matters and we'll process them within the ambit of the procedural and the processes of Parliament. And we will definitely come back to yourselves respectfully. And we can. There is no way that you would feel aggrieved that you have been undermined by a particular office. I don't think the highest office in the land, which is expected to be the champion, could undermine a grouping of your stature, raising such important matters, which are linked to even to the provisions of the Constitution, as well as the undertaking that are flowing from the State of the Nation address, that you could be ignored. And you must understand that the highest office of the land is one of the busiest offices, but it does not justify that any correspondence has to be attended to. And that talks to efficiency, that talks to effectiveness. Ours is to ensure that now that this petition has been brought to us, is to interact with that respective office and exercise our oversight responsibility. We will do that. And that's why I am grateful and thankful to yourself to say that this is what you expect of us. And I can assure you that we will not disappoint you on this. The chairperson of the National Council of Provinces has referred this to my office in order for this committee in particular attends to this. The mere fact that it did not take so long after your submission for us to host this meeting clearly shows that we are taking you serious, and we have a responsibility to respond and actually process your petition to its finality. And I want to leave it at that, because I would have hoped that my statement would be more of a conclusion to a discussion or questions and questions of clarity which would have been raised by the members. But it seems that the manner in which you have presented yourselves before us satisfied our members, and therefore my conclusion will suffice in terms of the way forward. I will again give you another opportunity, so that if now you have questions to ask as to what next and what are the time frames, all of that, I think it's a matter that we can deal with it. It is within the ambit of the powers and the functions of the NCOP.
Thank you very much for your response, Honourable Chair. Could I possibly have an opportunity to just address two points that you raised?
All right, no problem.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, you stated the fact that the existence of a dedicated department to respond to gender-based violence and femicide, which is the Department of Women, is an indication that the government takes the response to gender-based violence and femicide quite seriously, and that it would be unfair to say that it is doing nothing. I think what we are trying to say is that although there is a dedicated department, and although there are specific national policies and even reformed legislation now, that despite all of that, there is poor implementation. And that is one of the things that we are asking this select committee to address with the presidency or whoever you think is the appropriate department. I understand that a progress report was requested by the select committee from the Department of Women, and that no response was received. So what we are raising are two issues: the non-responsiveness of the presidency to public petitions submitted to it, but also poor implementation of policy and dedicated resources that are supposed to be used to respond to gender-based violence and femicide. And we don't say that lightly. We don't say that these policies are not being implemented lightly. We're saying that based on a report released by Chapter 9 Institution quite recently. So that is also something that we quite strongly request that the Select Committee address with the Office of the Presidency. The second thing is, or the second point that you raised, Honourable Chair, was the fact that the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities may well be the appropriate department to respond to our petition, that the presidency may well have referred it to them. But even so, what we are pointing out or would like to raise with the committee is that we still haven't received a response from anyone, from not a single department in government, whether it be the presidency or the Department of Women to which it was supposedly referred. And that is also quite problematic. And that concludes what I have to say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam, for that. Are there any of your colleagues that also maybe want to come in?
Okay, thank you. I second what Leanne says. I need to be careful how I word things, because I often speak from the heart and not from the head, which can be a problem. You know, it's not so much the delay from the petitions. I just hope you all understand us working in GBV every day of our lives, how hard it is. We need to have certain things implemented. You know, we're out there. We're not against you. We're with you. We're trying to help you. My organization, we don't take a cent. We are all volunteers. We're getting in on a weekly basis about 20 to 30 sometimes domestic violence cases. The police response is poor. The training in stations is poor. And the victim support rooms are non-existent in some places. There are certain small things that we have to address immediately, because it is, you know, we here, we're doing our job, we're trying to help, we're offering victim support and legal advice. And, you know, we've been talking to some women for 2 years for ongoing rape cases, but we need to be holding your hands in certain aspects when it comes to just the basic things like SAPS training and the way victims are treated when they report GBV crimes. So we really hope, you know, this petition is not just for us to say we want this and this and that. This is for the women of South Africa and for the victims that are struggling. We honestly do need to hold your hands tighter in this and just find a way to resolve things, or just somehow get the ball rolling with training and things with SAPS. Thank you.
Thank you, Bronwyn. Any other member from your side? Okay. Now let's appreciate that actually we do need that constructive approach to matters, so that we don't seem to be fighting, because we all have to put our hands together in the fight against the GBV. And you are right in saying that there is a great need to improve on the policy implementation. Certainly, we can't claim that it is optimal. We would like to arrive to a point where it could be very efficient and very optimal. And we will strive to ensure that government meet that required target. But what I want to assure you, we will come back to you within no time. We've been working behind the scenes, even before this meeting, to ensure that we can get some answers even by today. We're working out, flat out, trying to get into all the relevant departments. And as you know, much as we have this Department of Women and Children as a dedicated department, you are correct in saying that in terms of government policy, some of the initiatives of trying to cap GBV are carried out by the Department of Social Development, for instance, and other entities of state. So I'm saying that we will we'll process this, and we're really grateful, and I'm happy we even with your temperature to say that these are constructive proposals which we're putting forward in order to assist government so that in its implementation of its own policy, it could actually expedite that implementation so that the results that we want to see happening are achieved in a short term. You spoke of the low-hanging fruits into this. We're happy that you have pointed that to us. We now have your presentation and we'll interact with it, because the presentation is more detailed. And I know that you are talking to it now at a high level, but we have it. And I want to give you the assurance of my office and the assurance of this committee that we will be back, and if it needs be, we will even invite you again to another meeting wherein we can have some officials and even some of the leaders of government so that they can interface with you directly, with us facilitating that meeting. So rest assured, and we are really appreciating of this, and we will follow up on all the matters that you have raised. All I can say is to thank you and appreciate you for having approached us, and it is indeed our responsibility to ensure that we take that forward.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
All of the honourable members as well. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Honourable Chair. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. You are welcome. We have another item which is not related to the petition that you came with. So it's okay if you would want to leave. You are free to leave, and we are grateful. If we don't meet before the end of the year, we want to wish you a wonderful festive season. But if it does occur that we are able to react before we close the offices, then that will be another opportunity for us to wish you all the best for the festive season as well as the prosperous new year. Thank you so much. All the best. Keep well.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mkize.
Yes, Chair.
I was going to say that for today, maybe let's just leave it at this, because definitely we're going to have challenges in dealing with other matters, given what I said at the beginning, especially when Honorable Bartlett was not here. So I don't want us to be caught up and not being able to take a decision simply because some of us are not here. You get what I'm trying to say?
You are correct, no, but you don't even correct, Chair. We don't have a quorum to adopt the standing minutes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say, but I thought I did not want to say it like that in case some of the guests are still here.
No, they already left.
All right. I think then, thank you very much, colleagues. I think that's the spirit with which I think we should handle our people when they come to us and not ostracize them further when they are aggrieved. All what we need to do now, like I said yesterday, is to go back. I will also be assisting through my office directly to interact with the respective offices, because as you can see, they would not be so opposed if they had received a response from the Minister of Women and Children. It's just that they did not get any response. It's only the referrer. So I think we should not leave this for too long. We should actually start dealing with it now, so that our words actually equate our action, as it were. So for me, I would like to conclude the meeting in that spirit, and I will be interacting with you then, Mr. Mkiza, as well as Nazreen, and see how we can sort of have a quick turnaround on this issue.
No, sir, Chair.
Yeah, I am now at a point where I would like to say this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Chair. Great weekend to you.